Inside the Huddle with Sky Sports, Neil Reynolds and Jeff Rimebo.
Yes, hello and welcome to Inside the Huddle in association with NFL Shop Europe. We're sponsored by DraftKings.co.uk. I'm your host, Neil Reynolds, joined as ever by my old partner, Jeff Rimebolt. Jeff, we're almost at Christmas. Early Merry Christmas to you and to all our listeners. And we had a early Christmas present from the NFL. This week's games were fantastic.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the Raiders being in the playoffs.
The who?
The Raiders.
They're back, yeah. First time since 2002. I think we said that on Sunday night. There's something about that that just feels right. Because when we, you know, we both big NFL history buffs, when you look at what the Raiders meant overall to the league, you know, whether you look at them as bad boys, colorful characters, however you look at it, they've been a fundamental part of league history. And to not have them involved or relevant for so long has been a bad thing.
Yeah, and you know, Neil, it really transcends even the NFL, because there was a time in the 80s when the Oakland Raiders were the most successful pro sports franchise in the world. And they've fallen, you know, far short of that since 2002, but the black and silver is back, baby. Just win one for Al.
One for Al. Just win, baby. That was their thing, wasn't it, Jeff? We're going to get into week 15 in the NFL. We'll make our picks for week 16. You know, like the big guy in the red suit, Jeff, we'll be working on Christmas Eve, but we don't mind, do we?
No, not when it's the NFL.
Yeah, exactly.
What, it's a gift. It's really is a present to be able to do this. It's such a blast. I you know, sometimes you and I kind of giggle because it's like you and I are just
pitching ourselves.
Two mates talking ball. That's all it is.
Keep going until they take it away from us, Jeff.
Easy.
Don't tell anyone. But what about last week? Just, I've said this before over the years, the never say die attitude of professional athletes, of NFL players, never ceases to amaze me. You look at playoff teams that needed the win. Houston had to dig deep. They got the win. Mm-hmm. Tennessee did it in remarkable fashion in Kansas City. Baltimore had to hold off a two-point conversion at the end. Pittsburgh come from behind. There were Green Bay.
Yep.
We're up 27-10. Yep. Then it's 27 apiece. And then Aaron Rodgers comes back. I mean, these teams had to dig deep this weekend, Jeff.
Yeah, you know what? And when you talk about digging deep, how about digging all the way past some questionable coaching decisions? Tennessee going for two.
Wow, yeah.
And then having the opportunity to get the ball back and drive it and kick a field goal. You know, I mean, it's just amazing. You look at
Andy Reid ices the kicker as well. Tell us about that. I mean, icing the kicker generally. The kickers I've spoken to have said they don't mind the timeout being called because it gives them more time to prepare. They like that situation of being in that game-winning environment so that you're not going to freak them out. And also, I wonder if you let the clock run and run and run, if that kicker's going to be expecting the timeout. If it doesn't come, he's suddenly got to kick it. What's your thoughts on
that? Yeah, you know what? I have seen that work against you more times than I've seen it work for you.
Yeah.
And, you know, particularly when you hold it right to the end and then call the timeout as he just before the ball snap, because they'll go through the normal motion. And I've seen a lot of times they'll miss the first one, which is what happened.
5 yards short, he was, Jeff.
In the Kansas City game. They were short, and then he got another chance. And all you'd really do is give him another opportunity to recalibrate, because if he hits it, then he knows where his groove is. And then if he misses it, he can you know, change his foot pattern or whatever caused him to, whether he over-rotated or whatever he did to miss. And so you're almost like giving him a practice shot.
Fascinating comments from Ryan Suckup afterwards, who said that because kickers always say, oh, I can make it, coach, I can make it. Now, they weren't in a situation where they had any choice. They had to try the field goal. There was 3 seconds left. But he said when they called the timeout and he'd missed that one 5 yards short, he said, I was thinking you could give me this kick 10 times today and I'm not going to make it. He thought as he was lining up, he wasn't going to make it. That completely goes against what they're...
Yeah, that's really counterintuitive
kickers
to what
see,
you said.
Jeff.
Yeah, but they're all counterintuitive. Let me tell you the best kicker story I ever heard about a guy getting iced. All right? It's Oklahoma against Ohio State in college football. And Oklahoma has a kicker named Uwe Von Schaman. And they called him Uwe Von Foot.
Love
right?
him. Played for the Dolphins.
Yeah.
Dolphins
so, yeah, you remember him.
Yep.
So anyway, so they're at Ohio State. They're in the Big Horseshoe, which seats about 100,000 people. It's a last-second kick to win the game. And Ohio State calls a timeout to ice him. And the Ohio State band starts to play. Well, Von Schaman walks over from the huddle, the Oklahoma huddle, to in front of the band, and he starts to direct the band.
Brilliant. Like a bandmaster.
And then the 30-second timeout ends. He goes back in the huddle, kicks a field goal, wins the game.
See, ice in their veins, some of these guys. Absolute head cases, but...
Hey, they're all different, man, every one of them.
Let's look at a couple of issues I wanted to talk about around the... We can get into some of the games in a second, Jeff, but we had the Patriots against Denver as our main game, the second game on Sunday. And watching that game, New England almost looked like they were running out the clock from start to finish. I mean, it was... There were not many times Brady took chances, didn't have to. They ran the ball 39 times, I think, threw it 32. But they still beat Denver by 13.
If you would have said to anybody, right, and I mean anybody, take you, take me, take anybody, that Denver would hold Tom Brady without a completion for the entire first quarter and lose the game, I'd have said you're absolutely crazy out of your mind.
And the big story after that in the locker room, Gary Kubiak asks, does anyone want to address the team? Russell Okung, the left tackle, stands up to address the team, and Aqib Talib shuts him down. And then there was this issue in the locker room. Kubiak has now come out and said there's no divide between offense and defense. How can there not be at the moment when those kind of stories are circulating? They score 3 points, and I guess there's no... Well, I'm thinking Russell Okung standing up and addressing the team is not going to sit well with that defense at this time of year when they're struggling. They wouldn't have had that reaction if it had been Peyton Manning. That leader is missing at the moment.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to tell you something. This is not unusual. And right. I think people have a tendency to you know, misunderstand the emotion and the passion and all of the – I mean, a locker room – you know, Neil, you've been in so many of them, and you know, you talk about the cooling off period and all that stuff. Well, you know as well as I do that it's way, way past 30 minutes to cool off when the guys have laid it on the line the way they lay it on the line. And I, you know what? You can almost predicted this was coming all the way from last year, because the reality of pro sports is these guys are all highly strung, highly competitive, ego-driven guys, type A personalities. And particularly that's true of defensive backs in general.
Yeah.
So when you're on a football team that the entire focus really until the Super Bowl was over was on the offense, was on Peyton Manning, the offense. Well, the players on the field know why they win and why they lose. And Denver won last year in spite of Peyton Manning and in spite of the offense.
Absolutely.
And so I'm sure this has been festering inside for a long time because, you know, you talk about the defense. Who do they talk about? They talk about Von Miller. Well, that rightly so, because he's probably one of the top five defensive players in the National
that
Football
secondary League. Is probably the best in the NFL as well.
Yeah, exactly. And they're highly competitive guys. And you go out and play like they played on defense and come away with an L. It doesn't sit well with you. And then all of a sudden you've got an offensive lineman that wants to address the team.
New to the team this year.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of factors in there. And that's where you got to be a little bit cautious about giving the floor as a coach.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, Jeff.
Cautious about giving the floor to anybody.
Yeah. That might not have been the situation to give immediately after the game. Maybe you do it in a team meeting on Monday or Tuesday. It felt like, actually, Kubiak might have been asking for trouble a little bit there.
Well, I think so. And again, you know, I understand what he was doing. He was trying to reach out to his team and you know, give them ownership. But you got to be really, really cautious with that, particularly in the post-game locker room where you've had a game that really may have cost you a playoff spot.
Is this an issue, Jeff? Because this was reported by Michael Silver of NFL Network. This all happened in the bit before we're allowed in there. This was the bit behind closed doors, but it got out to the media.
Yeah, and again, I think these kind of things, you know, are unfortunate, but you know how it is. The media is huddled around the door.
They've only got to grab one backup lineman and say, what was going on?
Exactly. That's exactly it. They're all huddled around the door. They got their ear pressed to the door. They're trying
to
get
a
story, which that's their job.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you know, Okun gets up to speak, and I can just – I mean, I've been through it. I can just see – Tlaib just saying, don't I want to hear from you guys. And all of a sudden it starts, and you know, and now you've got shoving and pushing and screaming
shouting,
and yelling, and so behind the door, all those ears pressed to the door want to know what the story is, and you know,
it's going to come out.
It's going to come out.
Yeah. Houston had a very obvious quarterback problem last week, Jeff. I just put this on Twitter, actually. I mean, every time the Christmas decorations go up, Brock Osweiler goes down to the bench. This is the second year in a row he's ended up struggling in December and getting relegated to the bench. We had a couple of questions on Twitter, actually, asking if it was a move that was made at the right time or too soon. I think Bill O'Brien had to give him a decent run. You can't ask for more than 14 games, but they've gone with Tom Savage for this coming weekend. They've already made that decision. So this looks like it's as long as they're in contention.
I think, you know, there's two questions there. First of all, did he have enough time? Yeah, 14 games is plenty of time. All right. Now, what I like about what O'Brien did was he was very decisive early in the week. Now, you can say, well, that gives the opponent the advantage because now you know who you're preparing for, a quarterback.
Yeah.
But I think he wanted to quiet all the noise outside the locker room and all the, you know, all the controversy and who would be the guy and yada, 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 and let his team know which way they're rolling. And, you know, they got to rally around Tom Savage now. They still got a chance.
Yeah, because and we talked about this on Sunday night. The way they play, you can't have Brock Osweiler keep turning the ball over. And he's been a constant. Every week it says another one. There's another one. There's another one. And Savage comes in and he didn't throw a pick. And that is big for this team.
Absolutely, because if they're going to make any kind of playoff run, they're going to do it on the back of their defense and playing complementary football. And, you know, I like Brock Osweiler. I like the kid. I've known him since he was a junior high kid in Montana. But I'm going to tell you something. You cannot turn the ball over like he has turned into a turnover machine. Some of it is not his fault. He's had balls glance off receivers' hands. That's going to happen. But you look at the sheer numbers of interceptions, and you have to say you're not giving our football team its best chance to win, and that's the head coach's job, to put the 22 best guys out there to give a chance to win.
Bigger picture, Jeff, they are this is year one of a four-year deal, $72 million. They are on the hook for $37 million of that guaranteed. So that's effectively salary for this year and next year. So it looks like he's not going to be going anywhere.
No, I think this is, again, so that the listeners kind of have a peek in, you know, behind the curtain. When something goes like this, doesn't go well like this, there are guys all over the organization, you know, scrambling for cover because – You're gonna have to explain to Mr. McNair why we're paying $72 million for a guy that can't play or hasn't played well or isn't playing. And, you know, when these decisions get made, there's a lot of guys whose careers, frankly, get put on the line based upon how that guy's going to play. Because, again, $72 million for a guy that's not on the field. That's expensive. And you know, and again, you gotta be able to justify that.
There was a gambling element to that deal anyway, Jeff, because he had seven NFL starts to his name before they even signed him.
Right.
You know, that was.
Now, I don't know the mechanics of how.
Although you could argue there that's seven more than most rookies have.
Yeah, exactly. That's seven more than a guy you draft in the first round.
Right.
Now, but here's the question that I have, and this is what fascinates me, that all this stuff is. Who was the one that pushed for that to happen, right? Who was the guy? Was it O'Brien? Was it the GM?
Yeah.
Was it the owner? Again, who was it that really pushed for this to happen? Because somebody had to champion his cause in order for them to make that drastic a move. And that guy is going to have some, as Ricky Ricardo used to say on the Lucy Show, some splaining to do.
And that's where it would be fascinating, Jeff, because if it is if it's Bob McNair, the owner, then there is no cover that's needed.
He's writing the checks. Right. He can do whatever he
exactly
wants.
If it's Bill O'Brien, and Bill O'Brien this week was quoted as saying, we have a very, very talented quarterback room, That quarterback room consists of Brock Osweiler, Tom Savage, and Brandon Whedon. I'm not buying that at the moment.
What's
he going to say? Of course he's going to say that. They're his guys. But that's what he's working with.
That's where I don't know about that. You know,
sometimes you're better off not saying.
Sometimes full on Bill Belichick. Just pull your hoodie over your head and mumble, because when you make a statement like that, you know, people remember. And all of a sudden, when your quarterbacks aren't playing well, then, okay, you got all this talent in the quarterback room. Why are your quarterbacks throwing interceptions? Why can't you win with these guys? Then somebody's going to have to pay the price. And, you know, what you do is you set up, first of all, your quarterback coach, then your offensive coordinator, then ultimately you.
Yeah. When we did the Thanksgiving Day show on Sky, end of November, I was at home that day getting ready for the show, and I was watching a Football Life. No, it wasn't a Football Life. Sorry, it was an America's Game. The one where the Giants end the season beating the Buffalo Bills, Super Bowl 25. Bill Parcells features heavily in that. So does Jeff Hostetler.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, even when Hostetler took over from Phil Sims, he was getting ridden really hard by Bill Parcells. Parcells is in the media. He was on TV. Saying, if Hostetler doesn't like the fact he's a backup, he can go be a crybaby somewhere else. He was not mincing his words. When Bill O'Brien tells me that Tom Savage, Brock Osweiler, and Brandon Whedon is a talented quarterback room, has it changed, Jeff? Because Bill Parcells didn't pull his punches. He would tell Lawrence Taylor to get his head out of his you-know-what in the middle of a game. Has it changed generally? Are coaches frightened to criticize their players?
I don't know if they're frightened to criticize their players, but I think players are more sensitive today to criticism than they've ever been. And I think, really, to be honest with you, from the days when the big tuna roamed the sidelines in New York or Dallas or, you know, New England, it's a different world. Mm. You know, there are more guys making more guaranteed money than ever. I mean, $72 million.
Right.
Now, when you pay a guy $72 million, it's hard to cut him because, I mean,
you've got to make it work.
Yeah, you got to find a way to make it work. So in that way, maybe that's why you get these kind of comments, which, you know, how can you have – when you make a comment like that, this is always where I go to it. When you make a comment like that, how are you going to look at your team in the face when you stand up in front of them and have any kind of credibility?
Yeah.
Because they know. They watch. Right. They're on. They see.
And Jeff, I've been – when I'm around players a lot, you know, and I'm not talking about when I'm interviewing them, but if we're on the bus when we're doing tours around the country, or we're sitting waiting to get started on an interview and there's three or four of them sitting around, players – They call BS on stuff like that. They don't mess about. They'll be like, well, this guy in Denver, oh, he sucks. He can't play. What about that guy in Miami? No, he's no good.
Yeah,
they don't mince their words, no. Players. Players know who can play and who can't.
Absolutely. And so that's exactly what I'm saying. When you make that kind of statement, what do you think the guys in the room are saying? How do you think Vince Wilfork feels?
Right.
Vince Wilfork played with good quarterbacks. He knows what good quarterback play is.
Just a bit. Right? I've seen that.
So how do you justify that to, you know, to J.J. Watt or, you know, Winston Marcellus or any of those really good players that they've got over there, and make a comment like that and then say, well, yeah, but defense, you're going to have to hold them to 16 points if we have a chance to win.
Yeah, because we can't score.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's stay in the AFC South for a moment. Gus Bradley, sadly, was fired as head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. He finished with a 14-48 record, was coming to the end of his fourth season. So, you know, we said, Jeff, that he's had time. He's had lots and lots of close games. And more often than not, they've lost those games. Any problem with this firing? I mean, I'm a big Gus fan, and even I started to see the writing. I thought he had to go, and that pains me to say, but I can't get too up in arms about this decision.
You know, it's interesting. We had a conversation yesterday with some people from the Jags, and they felt exactly the same way you did. Mm. They all like Gus. They like his personality. They like his kind of person, the charisma that he's got, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
But ultimately in this business, it's a performance-based business, and you have to – performance in our game is measured by W's and L's. Mm. And, you know, when you're a coach, you sign up for this. You understand it. It doesn't make it any easier when it happens to you, because I've had it happen to me. But, you know, there's two types of coaches. Those are those are fired and those that are going to get fired.
Yeah,
and,
it's a Bum Phillips quote, wasn't it?
Just the way it is. And, you know, once you take a job, particularly as a head coach, once you take a job, it's like they point the pistol at you and pull the trigger. And it's just only a matter of time for most of us until the bullet hits you. So you just, you know, want to dodge the bullet as long as you can.
That's true. There are the very great Tom Landry, even the great Tom Landry got fired.
He got fired. I mean, and, you know, Bill Belichick's been fired.
I mean,
I don't know if I can give you the name of a guy that I don't believe Coach Vermeil's ever been fired. Now, that he may be the only one that I know.
Don Shula might have retired, but he might have got fired in Baltimore.
Yeah, he got – and you know, Bill Parcells got fired as a in 1 year at the Air Force Academy.
Right. I mean, so they all get it.
You know, everybody gets it at some point. Doesn't make it easy.
No. Dave Caldwell said this decision had been made before the Houston game. So no matter what was going to happen, if they'd won that game, they were up 13-0. If they'd won that game, he was getting fired anyway because they wanted to start the process of looking for a new coach. They didn't want Gus in the building. What's that like, Jeff?
When, you know what? It was really surprising. The timing of it was...
Sticking back on the team charter as well.
The timing to me was a little bit funny because if that was truly the case and you were going to fire him before the game, why did you let him coach the game?
Right.
And then again, can you imagine, it's probably about a three-hour flight from Houston to Jacksonville.
Yeah.
That had to be the longest three-hour flight of Gus Bradley's life.
That's the part for me that I do struggle with. If you are going to fire the guy, you can let him get on the plane, you come back to Jacksonville, you call him in first thing Monday morning, and then you fire him. You don't make him get on a plane with the team in front of all his players when he's just lost his job. Dave Caldwell talks about we needed Gus out of the building out of respect to him so we could start the new search. And Caldwell said that his job and his relationship was all about trust with Gus Bradley. Well, what you're saying there is, well, actually, we don't trust you to come back in the building. This is like a banker leaving and we're going to march you off the premises or a financial trader. This is a football coach. What's he going to take out of his office on Monday morning that's going to hurt this team? Is he taking his playbook and going to stick it online? No. He's not going to do that to the team.
No, it's just
let him get back to Jacksonville, at least.
There's a lot of things about it that you know, were head-scratchers to me, like exactly what you're talking about. Now, think about this. You fire him after the game. Well, let me just tell you, that word goes through the locker room like a disease. I mean, it's just like an infectious disease. Yeah. Everybody knows. Now, how uncomfortable is that for those players even to get back on, to have to walk past Gus?
Sitting
at the front of the plane.
Yeah.
And, you know, why would you put your athletes through that? Why would you put your team through that? Why would you put your assistant coaches through that? You know, here's another one that happened when Lane Kiffin got fired at USC. They were coming back from a road trip, a game on the road. They flew into LA, and the AD asked him to stay behind and from the bus that went to USC and did the firing there. But at least he didn't open it up. Now, do you think that the media wasn't waiting for that charter to get off? Get back into Jacksonville?
Yeah,
it must have been a feeding frenzy at the airport.
Just again, that sort of public embarrassment. You shouldn't feel embarrassed that he's been fired. Like you said, everyone's been fired, but you don't want to be out there.
Why would you drag him through the streets?
Any man in the average listener now, you get fired from your job, you want to get home, be with your family, and feel sorry for yourself. You don't want to, here comes the TV crew now.
Yeah.
Here's
what we'll do. You work on the 30th floor and you sell futures and you get fired. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to make you ride up and down in the elevator for an hour.
Right? And the media will be waiting for you.
And then we'll tell everybody that you got fired. No, media will want to talk to you after you know, you've ridden the elevator with people that know you're fired. I mean, it's crazy. It's a crazy, crazy deal. I don't understand it, but hey, they got to move on now.
Yeah.
You know what? I wanted to talk to you about that. Yeah, because as we look at this, you and I had a little bit of a conversation, and you were actually the one that brought it up. And you mentioned Tom Coughlin's name, and that's starting to get legs now around Jacksonville.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, because Dave Caldwell addressed the media yesterday afternoon, and he said we have an interest in talking to Coach Coughlin. He's going to be 71 in August, Jeff, but I still thought he did a good job with the New York Giants right up until last year. Now, if you're a Giants fan, you might say that, well, we haven't changed a lot apart from Tom Coughlin, and we got 10 wins this year. But I don't know if Tom Coughlin's become a bad coach overnight, and I think he's good for that Jacksonville team. They're a young team. I think they've got talent there. Starting to wonder a bit because they haven't had the results, but I think they've got talent there. Maybe they need that discipline.
All right, I think there's a couple factors here. The first most important factor is when he walks into that locker room, he will have instant credibility because he's been there and done it, right, at the highest level.
Yep.
You can take Kyle Shanahan, you can take Josh McDaniels, you can take Terrell Austin, you can take, and they're all great football coaches.
Yep.
But they haven't been there yet. Mm. They don't have that. I mean, he can walk in with that ring on his finger and they will know that he, number one, turned that franchise around. They were the fastest expansion team to ever get to the playoffs when he was in Jacksonville originally. He went to the Giants and turned a bad organization into a Super Bowl champion. He's a high-energy guy. You can talk about how old he is, but how old is he really?
Yeah.
How old does he live? Mm-hmm. Tom Coughlin takes immaculate care of himself. He's still got the energy. And really, to be quite honest with you, the head coach in the National Football League is more CEO than he is anything
Jeff,
else.
Jeff, it was interesting, actually, because this story has emerged that Coughlin lobbied Gus Bradley over the summer to ask to be on Gus's staff as a consultant. Gus clearly obviously didn't want that over his shoulder kind of thing. But that's an indication that Coughlin wants back in. Doug Marrone is going to be the interim head coach for now. But the other names that were mentioned were Kyle Shanahan, Josh McDaniels, maybe that offensive side of the ball. Mike Smith, the Bucs defensive coordinator, has been mentioned. I don't think he covered himself in glory at the end as a head coach in Atlanta, but Caldwell started out with the Falcons, so they've got a relationship there. One thing Caldwell did say was that whoever comes in will not have a mandate to play Blake Bortles. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting because, again, what are you saying? This is why you get the genius of Belichick because he never paints himself in a corner.
No, because they were all, Blake's our guy, Blake's this, Blake's that. Now it's like,
What are you saying to Blake Bortles? And you got, again, I think that's why I don't want to call it genius because geniuses are splitting the atom and finding cures for cancer. But one of the wisdom of Belichick, if you would, the wisdom underneath the hood is the less you say, the less you can get pinned in the corner on. Mm. And so by keeping it, I don't know what the nebulous, I guess, is the term where this really you don't put yourself in bad position. Now, what are you saying to your quote franchise quarterback that you may not be around next year? I mean, that's not building confidence in a guy who's really struggling and needs confidence right now.
While you're talking quarterbacks, Jeff, I've got a question for our dear listeners. I wonder if any of you have ever fancied yourself as a bit of a Dak Prescott or a Tom Brady. With the new X-Ball from Wilson, you can train like the pros. This X-Ball, Jeff, is fantastic. It's the world's first smart football. It's used by NFL teams during Thursday night games. The ball comes with an app. So it comes with an app that you connect to your phone or your device, provides real-time, accurate data covering everything from the speed of the throw, efficiency of the spiral. I didn't do too good on that one. Distance and even whether the pass was caught or fell incomplete. You can stack up to the stars of the NFL, test your skills. Visit europe.nflshop.com. Pick yourself up a Wilson X Smart Ball. They've been released in the UK this week.
I know there's a 15-year-old kid in Kent that could probably use one of those underneath his Christmas tree.
He would have a little go, a little play around with that for sure. And when we went to the fan rallies around the London games, the Wilson guys were set up there, and I'm backstage doing all my prep and. Mm. We were there about an hour and a half early, and I said to George, I said, "What, you all right? You're going to be?" He's like, "I'm over there." And he just walked off.
He was over there chunking the ball.
And he just stayed there for like an hour and a half. He came back. His like, shoulder's a bit sore. I was like, "Yeah, you've thrown like 150 passes. That's why." One more thing I want to talk about, Jeff, and then we can make our picks. We haven't really broken down the games, but it's better sometimes to get into some of the bigger talking points. There's a lot of them at this time of year.
Yeah, because it's that time of year when this kind of stuff happens.
Marvin Lewis mm-hmm. and the Cincinnati Bengals. Mm-hmm. We'll get onto what you saw, some of the stuff you saw on Twitter. Some of the stuff from his press conference was literally blowing your mind as we were on air. But let's first of all talk about, again, this is an ill-disciplined team. They have the Pittsburgh Steelers right where they want them. They've got them downtrodden. They're beating them up in a game that the Steelers have to have. Jeremy Hill scores a touchdown. He picks up the terrible towel, which is kind of renowned around the NFL. You don't mess with the terrible towel. It's just a disrespectful thing to the Steelers. Steelers players and fans take it personal. He picks up the terrible towel, tries to rip it up. Just so you know, after that, Jeremy Hill had 6 carries for minus 1 yard. Pittsburgh came storming back and they took the game. It's a funny thing we made light of, Jeff, but it's another example of how there's a lack of discipline under Marvin Lewis.
Yeah, and 4 defensive penalties in a row. 4 plays, 4 defensive penalties.
It's not the first time they've had that kind of meltdown, is it, Jeff?
No, and then I don't know if you caught Burfict's comments after the game.
I didn't see that.
My gracious. I mean, I can't say it on say it on the podcast, but basically the guy said, I don't have anything to say, and then he, I'm like, dude, what is it about this that you don't get?
Right?
You're costing your football team games, right? The undisciplined. Let me say this, and I like Marvin very much, mm-hmm. right? Our paths crossed early in our careers when he was an assistant at Idaho State. I was at Montana. He left New Mexico. He was coaching outside linebackers. He left New Mexico. I took the job. So we've known each other for a long time. I like him very much as a person. Mm. But you have a talented roster, a really talented roster, mm-hmm. top to bottom, yep. the Bengals. And
some players I've spoken to around the league, Jeff, think it's
one of the
most talented.
I agree with you. And something's not happening because it's the discipline factor that's costing your football team over and over and over again. And it's, 16 years and you haven't won a playoff game.
Right.
And it may be that those things are what eventually cost Marvin his job.
Well, because, we said this, I think we said this quite a bit around the playoffs last year, that loss, that meltdown, could have cost him his job right then. I mean, the Brown family like to get their value for money, so they don't like to pay off coaches. They're one of those, right?
If you're not working for them, they don't like paying you.
Right, but, again, if you're not going to nip it in the bud and you're not going to react to the ill discipline, it's going to reflect on you, and I think that's what we're seeing now. And also players, if you get obviously you're going to get worked up and in the heat of the moment. But if you get worked up in New England and you have that kind of meltdown, in the back of your mind as you're getting worked up is the fact, I'm probably getting benched for this. But if you know you're going to get away with it, it's just like, I'm just going to unload and I'm going to go for it because at least it's not going to cost me my starting job next week.
Yeah, and you know what? And it's so divisive in the locker room because you get a guy, I don't know if the listeners remember, Andrew Whitworth, their all-pro left tackle, yep. really one of the finest left tackles in the NFL, really had major, I don't know even what the right word is for, he just had real anger at Burfict and Adam Jones for what they did to cost him an opportunity to maybe go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You think about how many guys have played their entire career, I'm talking about great players, have played their entire career and never had an opportunity to play in a Super Bowl. It's hard to get there. And when you got a team that's good enough to get there and you cost yourself, that's self-inflicted wounds, I mean, it's criminal because you may never get that chance again.
No. Marvin Lewis was talking in his press conference like he couldn't remember half of the plays, Jeff. Or was he just trying to hold the media because he didn't want to comment? So he was doing that kind of playing dumb.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, it was shocking, really, when I read the transcript of it, because again, and the person that had tweeted it out had said, "There's Marvin again with his finger on the pulse of his team," in a sarcastic way. But it wasn't a very good look for him, nor the Bengals, nor the NFL. Really,
I told you why the Bengals are so cranky. Where they practice, I went to their training camp for the first time this year. They're right under the motorway, Jeff. It's all those diesel fumes.
That's a tough deal.
Just a couple of things before we get into making our picks. This, there's a lot of divisions that are going to go down to the wire, isn't it? Specifically the AFC South by the looks of it, and the NFC North.
Yep.
Week 17.
That's going to be
could
a,
be
that
Detroit.
Is gonna be a game for the ages.
Packers have got to see their way past the Vikings this week, but you'd fancy them to do that.
Wow, after that meltdown that the Vikings had against the Colts.
Yeah.
Man, oh, man. I, you know what? It's so shocking to me about that one was that the one aspect of the Vikings that's been consistent all year long was they play, you know, they play good defense.
Right.
I'm going to tell you something. Indianapolis went through them like, you know.
A bad curry.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, thank you for helping me on that one. But it was shocking, really.
All right, just a couple of announcements before we get on to make our picks for week 16. So we have the four London games in 2017. Season ticket renewals are underway and will be ongoing until December the 28th. So make sure you, if you're a season ticket holder from last year or previous years, you can renew those until just after Christmas. Then new season ticket packages will be available in January. There'll be a date to be confirmed, so keep an eye on that at nfluk.com. And you can also register your interest for priority access for single game ticket sales, and you can do that at ticketmaster.co.uk/NFL. Also, one more announcement. It's almost Christmas, and for NFL fans, that means two things. The regular season is about to give way to playoff football, and you're almost out of time to find those perfect Christmas gifts. So, Jeff, this is quite emotional, this little read. Listen to this. NFL Shop Europe believes there should never be an empty stocking on Christmas morning.
Oh,
it's true, right?
Yeah, it is.
So they've got gifts available for every NFL fan in your life, no matter their age or team preference, even the Browns. To ensure you're everyone's favorite relative when they open their gifts this year, you need to order by 6 p.m. on the 22nd of December for standard delivery, or by 6 p.m. on the 23rd of December for express delivery. Those personalized items can be heading your way. Head over to europe.nflshop.com. Place those orders today.
How big a stocking would I have to get a size large Raiders black hoodie in my stocking?
It's a Christmas sack you need then, Jeff. But we don't know. You know, you might get a lump of coal in your stocking. We don't know. We just don't know if you're on the naughty or nice list. And there's only one person who knows that, and that's Bill Belichick. let's make our picks then for week 16. I'll just let you
got
know.
Me last week.
I got you. You know why?
You got me.
Do you know why?
Yeah. Yeah. Denver.
Denver. You went Denver at home.
I'm with Aqib Talib. Come on, Russell Acuna, you're killing me.
Yeah. You went 11-5. I went 12-4. So let's start then. Thursday night, New York Giants at Philadelphia. That Giants defense, Jeff.
Playing extremely well, and I like the diversity that they started to show offensively. Mm. Again, they ran the ball better than you thought they would, and they threw, you know, got the ball, got the tight end of, you know, tie active.
Yep.
Cruz caught a ball. Shepard got some balls. So, again, I think that's going to be critical for them as they go down the stretch. I like the way the Giants are playing.
There was at least a commitment to the run, if it's not like an all-powering, all-conquering rushing.
Yeah, and, you know, Vereen, I guess Vereen's probably out for the rest of the season. Mm. But you look at that football team, if they can just get a little bit of a run, you know, game to take the pressure off of Eli, I think they've got a real chance.
All right, I'm going Giants. You going Giants?
I'm taking Giants.
All right, our first game on Sky Sports. You'll be paying a lot of attention to this. I'll just be knee-deep in Quality Street, eating chocolates and getting into the Christmas spirit. Other chocolates are available, but that's my personal favorite. I'll let you know. Miami at Buffalo. This is a tough test.
Now you're not going to be paying attention to this
one. I will be paying attention. Yeah, I'm just going to be eating lots of chocolates at the same time.
You know what? This is a fascinating game because, to me, this is a big rival game.
Yeah.
The Bills hate the Dolphins. Mm. And this goes back to the Marino days and animosity, you know, the Kelly versus Marino thing and all of that. This is a critical game for Rex, too.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's every week there's more and more, you know, coming out of Buffalo about, you know, Doug Whaley's going to stay, Rex is going to go, the Pegulas are tired of Rex. He needs to win this football game. Mm. And one thing that Rex has always done has been really popular with his players. So, you know, with what's happened to Gus and what's gone on in the league now with Jeff Fisher, and there's, you know, jobs are starting to open. If they don't get it, that if they really like him and they want him to be their football coach,
yeah,
they better play well. But I'm going to say I'm going to take Miami.
I'm going to take Miami just because they need it more of those two teams, Jeff. They're more likely to get to the playoffs. I think Adam Gase has done a tremendous job with that team. They're winning games that they wouldn't have won under previous regimes. Just going back to Rex for a second. He's only in his second year in Buffalo. They're 7-7, but it does seem like it's a done deal. And if you're saying that the Pegulas might be running out of patience with him, that must be something other than purely results.
I you know what? I think it's a fact of life that, you know, and Rex is no different than you or me, anybody else. Our greatest strengths sometimes are our greatest weaknesses. Mm-hmm. And Rex truly believes, you know, he doesn't just spout off. He doesn't just say things to say things. He truly believes everything he says. And when he comes in there and says that, you know, they want to win championships, and you know he raises the stakes so high that even at 7-7, it feels like you've had a bad season. Well, how many winning seasons have the Bills had recently?
Yeah, longest playoff drought, 1999 season, last time they made it.
So he's been there 2 years. Mm. He's 7-7. That's why I say if they can pull this thing off, and they can, you know, if they could somehow get to 9-7. Mm. It may be tough to fire him, but I agree with you. And what I want to say too is, you really, last week when we were talking, not on the air but off the air, we were talking about Matt Moore, and you really hit it with him. He is much, much better than a backup quarterback. He may be a guy that could be a starter at, you know, five or six other places in the National Football League.
Yeah, absolutely. He's 14-12 as a starter, and had to have a backup who's started 26 games. I know we're going to have our production meeting at Sky tomorrow, and I've got some numbers that I want you to look at and see if we can find some examples. Last week against the Jets, I think 205 of his 230 passing yards last week were against the blitz. I mean, he didn't blink, Jeff.
Yeah, and that's where experience helps you. You know, we had mentioned the fact that Brady had thrown more passes in 14 NFL seasons than separate NFL seasons than Trevor Siemian had thrown his entire career.
Yeah.
Well, it's reps under center, and you can't replicate that in practice. That's the live reps are what you need, and that's why it's so difficult to develop backups in the NFL.
Yep. Let's move on to the New York Jets at New England. So I'm going, there's times when the Jets just look like they've given up.
Yeah, boy, it's really disappointing to me because I like Todd Bowles a great deal, and I just look at particularly their defense. They play with zero passion and zero intensity and zero toughness and zero tackling, and they're getting zero results. And you know, I think this is New England's game to take.
Tennessee at Jacksonville. Titans know they're the deal. Basically, they've got to win this one and then beat Houston in Week 17. They're back in the playoffs for the first time in a long time. I'm going to go Tennessee to win that.
Yeah, I'm going to take Tennessee, but I'm really interested. Doug Marrone gets a second chance now. Doug Marrone didn't do a bad job in Buffalo.
Yeah,
but there was some dysfunction in. To hear him tell it, there was some dysfunction inside the organization that he couldn't live with, and he just decided. Now, how many guys ever do this?
Right, yeah, he was just one year, wasn't he?
Resigns his position as a head coach in the National Football League, as hard as they are to get, to go be.
You don't know if you're ever going to get one again.
Exactly. So this is an opportunity for him again.
So you're going, I'm going Tennessee.
Yeah, I like Tennessee.
All right, both going Tennessee in that one. Minnesota at Green Bay. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is. He said he was going to win out. He's 4 out of 4 since saying that.
Yeah, the throw he made at the end of the game was phenomenal, and he did it on one leg. And you know, for the listeners, he saw the safety drop.
I was
going to
say, so he knew he could throw up a rainbow, right?
He knew he had to post, and he knew if he just got it out there far enough. Mm. That Jordy would go get it. And again, that's that thing we just talked about, the experience of seeing the coverage change at the last second and knowing where his guy was going to be and letting his guy go make a play.
Going Green Bay in that one, Jeff?
Yep.
All right, both going Green Bay. San Diego at Cleveland. So the Browns are two games from going 0-16. I think we've seen enough lack of fundamentals on Sunday in the glimpses against Buffalo to know Robert Griffin III isn't the answer.
Yeah, and again, same thing. You talk about lack of fundamentals. There's a play on the goal line where the Browns just structurally, defensively look bad to me. And so I think they're, you know, I don't know if they've cashed it in or what's going on. But San Diego, one thing about San Diego, as long as Phillip Rivers is slinging it, you got a chance because he's going to compete every week. So I'm going to take San Diego.
Yeah, I'm going to take San Diego. Another close game for the Chargers last week. Came up just short against the Raiders. Washington at Chicago. Disappointing loss for Washington.
Yeah, boy, that was tough. For them. And Chicago, really did a pretty good job hanging in there with Green Bay. I'm going to call an upset here. I'm going to take Chicago.
All right. I am going to agree with you, Jeff. I like the look of the Bears in recent weeks.
Next game, Jeff. Atlanta at Carolina. This one suddenly becomes a... Mm. Because the Panthers showed some, metal against the Washington Redskins, this becomes a tough one. And here's my thing with the Panthers. There's been flashes where you see Cam Newton. There's been the occasions where you've seen Jonathan Stewart. There's been times where the defense has given up a lot of yards, but there's also been times where they've sacked the quarterback and they've got turnovers. But those good things have all been on separate weeks. They've rarely been in the same time frame, and they were last year.
Yeah, and that's the difference between being a Super Bowl team and being a team that's going to watch the Super Bowl. Mm. They just haven't put it all together, as a football team. And, last year they did. They got on a run. They got belief, and away they went. And that's again, one of the illustrations of just how fragile winning is in the National Football League. It's hard to win football games. I kind of like that team, though. When you watch them last night, they go into a game that really they have nothing to play for, if you want to use that term. And they're playing against a team that has everything to play for. And they pull off a win. So, you got to give Ron Rivera some credit because it's hard to hold a team together when you go through a season like they're going through. I like Carolina in this one.
I'm going to take Carolina as well. I fancy Carolina to win at home. Atlanta, without Julio Jones the last 2 weeks, have scored 42 points and 41 points, but it was against the Rams and 49ers. So, again, in real money, that's about 24 points. So, I'm going to take the... I'm going to take the Panthers. Let's move on to the late games then. So by the time Indianapolis and Oakland kick off our second game on Sky Sports, I'll be drunk on Bailey's.
What?
Getting right into the Christmas spirit. The Raiders need this one. Of course, they've clinched the playoff berth, but they want more than that. They want first round bye. They want the division. I still have trust issues with the Indianapolis Colts. That kind of big performance is followed normally by a bad one. They beat the Jets heavily and then lost the week after. So I'm going to go Oakland at home.
I'm going to take Oakland at home based on the strength of their pass rush with Mack and Irvin. But the thing that scares me about, and I'm a devout member of Raider Nation, the thing that scares me about the Raiders is that defense gives up an awful lot of plays.
We were talking about this off-air, Jeff, in the studio. We probably should record our off-air chats. We have a lot more stuff that we say off-air. But we were talking about, because obviously the Raiders coming into last week, they'd given up 6.2 yards per play. That was the most in the NFL. And then we watched the end of the game against San Diego, and we said, that's when their defense is good. So they got to get into a lead, haven't they? And then you get those pass rushers to pin their ears back. Reggie Nelson's a ball hawk in the secondary.
In some ways, they're like Denver that way. Mm. They're built to rush the passer. But the challenge is, if they don't get in front and force a team to be one-dimensional, then those guys really can't lay their ears back and go. So I think it's really important that they jump out to a lead in this game, and I think they should against Indianapolis at home with what you have to play for. But again, if you're Indianapolis, you're coming into this game with some confidence too because you just took a good Minnesota defense out behind the woodshed and dog-whipped them.
All right, both going Oakland in that one. Tampa Bay at New Orleans. So Saints put up 48 points last week. Tampa Bay, Jameis Winston had 4 turnovers. They had a really, really slow start against Dallas. And then they still only lost by 6 on the road.
Yeah, they hung in there on the road and really got dominated in the first half.
Yeah,
You look at New Orleans and they can score points, but golly, are they struggling on defense again. So I think Jameis and the bunch will bounce back. I'm going to take Tampa.
All right. Because it's Christmas, Jeff, and because we haven't got anything that's different at the moment, I can't believe I'm going to do this because I've already picked the Bears and Carolina, but I'm taking the Saints to win at home.
That's really not, needed a drum roll. Not a stretch because you're playing it in the Superdome. That's a hard place to play.
Arizona at Seattle. I'm going to Seattle at home. They're all right at home, aren't they?
Yeah. I take Seattle. It hurts me to do that. It hurts me to do that because I thought when the season started, and this is why fans get all bent out of shape about, oh, this is a horrible game you're bringing the UK. Let me tell you something. Everybody in football thought that this game,
one of the games of the
would
season,
be the game of the year.
Yeah,
right?
It's just another one on the road to the playoffs for the Seahawks. Yeah. San Francisco at the Rams. 49ers, that was the last time they won in week one against the Rams.
This is bad against really bad.
This might end up in a tie.
No, I don't think so, because I don't know if San Francisco's defense can hold anybody scoreless. So I'm going to take the Rams.
I'm going to take the Rams as well to win that one. Colin Kaepernick said this week a change of culture would do that team good. Probably a change of quarterback wouldn't hurt either.
You know what? That's really an interesting comment that he makes. And, you know, you look at teams that losing football teams. Mm. And, you know, you work hard. You say all the right things. You do all take Gus, for example. There's probably few guys in the league that work as hard at creating a positive environment.
Right.
All of that as Gus has done in Jacksonville, and it doesn't work out. The bottom line is, you know what creates a winning culture? Winning.
Yeah.
Winning does.
Right.
And you can talk about it, you can do all the right things, but unless you win, you don't have a winning culture.
So both going Rams in that one. Cincinnati at Houston is the Saturday night game. So it's not Saturday because we're working Saturday this week, not Sunday. I think Cincinnati are a dangerous team, Jeff.
Yep.
I'm going to take the Bengals. I'm going Shock City this week. I've got enough upsets to last me the rest of the season on our bold predictions. I'm going Bengals. What about you?
That's really stepping out there, Neil. There's 2 weeks left in the season.
Thanks. I know. I've really got... yeah. Look at me.
You know what?
Tim Bray.
Somebody hit me on Twitter and they said, do you think, when the Bengals were playing the Steelers, they said, do you think Burfict and Adam Jones will be able to control themselves in the Steeler game? And I said, bad boys will do what bad boys do.
Yeah.
They did, and I think bad boys are going to do the same thing again. I'm going to take Houston.
All right, you're going Houston in that one. Let's move on to our Christmas Day games. Good one at 9:30 UK time. Baltimore at Pittsburgh. Baltimore won the first between these two. I fancy Pittsburgh at home, Jeff.
I think so, too. I just don't know if Baltimore's offense can score enough points.
And then Sunday night game is Denver at Kansas City. Boy, what a run-in for Denver. We talked about this before. Wow. Yeah, they had the Patriots, they got the Chiefs, and then they've got the Oakland Raiders.
I think this game's changed complexions in a week. You know, when the Chiefs got beat, I think this makes this a big game for the Chiefs.
I'm going Kansas City.
Yeah, I'm taking Kansas City, too.
And last game on the list, Jeff, Detroit at Dallas on Monday night. Football again. This one doesn't affect the Lions too much if they lose, because it's still going to be a kind of take-all game in Week 17. I do think Dallas will get this one.
I agree with that. But if you're – think about this. You're Jim Caldwell. Do you want to go into the Packer game on 2 straight losses?
No.
Exactly. Exactly. It's a big game.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's take a couple of questions from the mailbag. It's not a question, but Tom Marshall says, very Merry Christmas to you both. Here's to health and happiness and lots of NFL in 2017. Merry Christmas to you too, Tom.
Thank you, Tom. Merry Christmas.
Let's have a look. Find a couple more. I haven't prepared the questions, as you can tell, Jeff. This always makes for great radio as I'm scrolling through my Twitter feed. I have to get out.
Let's take that question. I got.
Oh, okay. You don't mind doing that one. All right. I've got this one. Let's see. Chris West says, could Jeff try and shed some light on why his boy Emmanuel Sanders can't seem to take an L with any class?
I think, and again, I'm not apologizing for his comments. And it was about Malcolm Butler and about, you know, playing cover two and his son Prince could play cover two corner. I think that is reflective of is a tremendous amount of frustration right now in Denver that we talked about earlier, boiled over between an offense defense thing, and you know, these are prideful guys, and this is defending Super Bowl champions, and they're watching their season, you know, disappear on them. And there is a tremendous amount of frustration in Denver, offensively particularly, and I think that manifests itself in E's comments.
This is a good one for you, Jeff, because you've worked in professional football but also college football. It comes from Johnny Williams, who says, your thoughts on Christian McCaffrey, etc., skipping the bowl season. Johnny says, it makes sense to me. Look at what happened to Jalen Smith last year. So McCaffrey's not going to play in the Sun Bowl, I think it was, mm-hmm. and Leonard Fournette is not going to play as well. What do you think of this?
You know what? I'm really glad we got to this question, and because here's two guys that, you know, spoke up about this. Mm. One being Ezekiel Elliott, who had this to say: I would trade anything to have one more game with my brothers in scarlet and gray, mm. which is Ohio State's yeah. colors. This is a guy who's in the running for the rookie of the year and about to go to the NFL playoffs. That's how much he loved his experience at Ohio State and would have, like he said, he would go back and play in a bowl game right now mm. if it meant an opportunity to play at Ohio State. And Jalen Smith, the guy you referenced who got hurt in the bowl game last year and probably cost him millions of dollars, he's come out and said the same thing. He would go and play in the game again, mm. even knowing that yeah. he would be hurt, because that's such a special experience. What I'm sure McCaffrey and Fournette have been advised, they're making a, quote, business decision. And, you know, I understand it. I grasp it from mm. a financial standpoint. Obviously, these guys could get insurance policies and through Lloyd's of London right. and all that in case they're hurt. But it kind of saddens me in a way, too, because it's funny. You hear players say all the time, well, it's, you know, when you say it's a game, we say it's a business. Mm. When we say it's a business, you say it's a game. Well, you know, you can't have it both ways. And don't be surprised if you see somebody cut and you think it's a bad business, because it is a business.
One last question, Jeff, and I only include this one because I don't know what the hell half of it means, and I want to see your face. This comes from Andrew Marr, who says, is Gary Kubiak on a shoogly peg, or does it lie more with OC/OL coaches? What the heck is a shoogly peg? Shoogly peg. I'm going to guess shaky ground. shoogly peg. Is he on a shoogly peg?
Let me go to Google and yeah. find out what that is.
Is it on Kubiak?
I think I agree with you. I think that's probably what Andrew's yeah. talking about. But isn't it amazing? I mean, isn't it freaking amazing?
Won the Super Bowl last year.
He's less than 12 months away from being a world champion, and yeah. now he's on a shoogly peg. Jesus, how you like that job? You wonder why I'm nuts? Yeah, I've been doing this for 30 years in this business.
Mate, when I've had a few of those Baileys on Christmas Eve, I'm going to be talking about coaches on the – when we put up the coaches hot seat graphic, we have to talk about which one's on a shoogly peg. And we'll be the only two people, and Andrew Marr, who know what we're talking about. All right, we are out of time on this edition of the Inside the Huddle podcast. It's our last one before Christmas, so I know I want to wish everyone a very, very Merry Christmas, and thanks for all your support that you give us on this podcast. If you don't listen, we can't do what we love to do, which is talk football. Jeff, I'm sure you feel the same way.
Absolutely. It's been a real blessing. The whole year, 2016, about to leave us, and 2017 coming, and let's have more ITH in 2017.
There we go. Jeff, for one last time, before Christmas, we will be back between Christmas and the new year. We're not going to be talking about the Week 16 games. Full disclosure here, because as soon as we finish recording this one, we're going to record another one for between Christmas and new year. So make sure you listen to that while you're off and sitting at home with your feet up. But for one last time before Christmas, Jeff, say goodbye to the good folks.
I got a little present for you. Melikalikimaka is the word you say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day. Aloha!